like some coffee? It's freeze-dried all right?
Okay, this is WBAI in New York City. This is Women Working Weekend. I am Viv Sutherland. For the next hour, you and I are going to sit and talk about sexual harassment on the job. I have two interviews for you. Two women whose names came to my attention through various and sundry means. The one thing, their jobs are very different. The one thing that they share in common is the fact that they have been sexually harassed at their workplace. The forms of harassment took very different forms for the two of them. First, we are going to hear Mary Garvin, who is a union carpenter, talking about her work and the ways in which her co-workers harassed her. on her job. And then we are going to hear a woman by the name of Rachel, who was a legal secretary. And we'll hear her story. Then we are going to open up our phone lines and talk to you, our listeners, about the subject of sexual harassment on the job. So first we're going to hear Mary Garvin.
My name is Mary Garvin. I'm a member of Local 1204, United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America.
As a woman in a very much a non-traditional women's occupation, have you had much sexual harassment on
the
job?
Well, there's always harassment of one nature or another. And I was thinking about it before we came, about harassment and some way to talk about it, because there's such a great deal of harassment going on, and it's hard to speak about it in those general terms. And it seems to me that harassment on a construction site can be divided into two sort of main categories. One of a curiosity-seeking, familiar, friendly, hi honey or hey honey, that looks good kind of harassment. And then another kind, which is far more dangerous, I think, is the tempting to do dangerous things, a really serious attempt to demoralize you or to affect your character, make you feel miserable or inadequate. And I think all of us have run into both of those types at one time or another. Most of the curious, friendly harassment will stop as soon as you are an individual, as soon as you are a person on the job. You are no longer a body walking by. I used to do a thing in San Francisco. When you go out to look for a job, you drive around in your car with your hard hat, and when you see a construction site, you pull up and go in and ask for work. This is how one finds work in the construction trade. I had a sports car at that time, and I would drive up in my sports car and pull up to this job site, put on my hard hat, and inevitably, every single time, one man on that job would feel it his duty to whistle and to have catcalls. So I made it a point to go up to that individual, that man, and ask him where the foreman was and that I was apprentice looking for work. And as soon as I got out of my car, put on my hard hat, walked up to him, I was no longer a woman on the street. I was no longer some girl, so forth, driving a sports car. I was an individual, and he would immediately change his expression and speak to me as an individual, as another carpenter looking for work.
Have you had any of the other kind of harassment, the dangerous kind?
Yes, and it's a very difficult thing when you're a new apprentice, especially if you're a minority apprentice, because you don't always know when they're asking you to do something that's particularly dangerous. There are certain rules laid down by OSHA that talks about what kinds of things you can and cannot do. And I was lucky in being warned at various points that there were certain things, such as working without a safety belt off the side of, 50 stories, this kind of thing, that certain ways that you would build a scaffold. Anyway, when I was asked to do those dangerous things, I can refuse and not be fired. I did have one experience with one foreman who was notorious for being horrible. He had already been put up for charges, which is a part of the union court, for throwing a straight claw hammer at a guy and breaking another guy's ankle. Anyway, he had come back in the area. He was my foreman, and he would verbally abuse me, constantly telling me to go faster, that I was not adequate, I was not hammering the nails at the right angle. Meanwhile, the guy next to me was getting away with murder, cutting things the wrong length, all sorts of stuff. And he would at times throw lumber at me, throw a piece of 1-inch sheetrock or plywood, expecting that I would catch it or demanding that I catch it, and ask me to do various things without the proper equipment that were totally against OSHA rules. And I eventually, after about a month of this, talked to the steward on the job, who is responsible for the safety of the workers, about it. And apparently he had 30 complaints about the way this foreman was treating me, and until I spoke up, he couldn't do anything about it, or so he told me. Well, this foreman was brought up on charges and was fined and told he could not work on the job any longer. So this sort of thing happens, and the thing that's difficult is to be aware of which things are, a lot of construction is dangerous, but there are degrees of danger to which you have to refuse.
You think that definitely he wouldn't have done it if you had been a man.
No. Well, this particular man was against all minorities. He was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. My partner was black, and one of the things that eventually happened is my partner and he got in a fight, and on a construction site, fighting in any form is not permitted. And as soon as they exchanged blows, they were both fired. And that's another thing you do run into in construction is a lot of prejudice towards all sorts of minorities, and it's just endless. And it's something that, you know, we're fighting right here in New York.
We sure are. I just want to get this on for the record. How much do you weigh?
When I'm working, I usually weigh about 135 or 140. I haven't been working for a while now, and I weigh about 125. I'm in the smaller range of the people who work on a construction site, which is not to say I am the smallest. And there are many men of my size and many men smaller, many men of my strength and many men of less strength. With modern technology, it is no longer necessary for you to be very strong to work on a big construction site. If you're working in a backwoods site, it is important to be strong because you're hauling all your own material. But on a high-rise site, laborers haul anything that has to be hauled by hand, and otherwise you have a machine do it. If two or three of us can't lift it, we get a machine to do it. So that there's a great mythology about the real cowboys, and that the construction workers are the last of the real cowboys, and you have to be strong and so forth and so on. But in most of the trades, strength is not absolutely a necessity.
If you had to do it all over again, would you?
Go into carpentry?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, that was Mary Garvin, a union carpenter. This next piece of testimony is Rachel, a legal secretary. Hi, this is Viv Sutherland. I am talking with Rachel, who had a rather unsettling and unfortunate experience with her employer. And since we've been doing a whole weekend's worth of programs on women and work, this part of it is going to deal with sexual harassment on the job. And I asked Rachel to come in and give us and talk to us and tell us what happened to her at work.
I was working part-time after school for an attorney. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten the job through a friend. It was his cousin, in fact. I was working there for about 4 months before anything happened. He had asked me to stay late one night, and I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I've worked late for bosses before, and we were very close. I mean, he took more of a father interest in me than anything else. Mm-hmm. I never had any kind of idea anything was going to happen. It was around 6:30. I didn't know everyone was gone. I found out afterwards. There was not anyone left on the floor. And I was standing by the file cabinets getting something out, and he came over and he put his arms around me and tried to give me a kiss. And I moved away and I just told him to cut it out. And he stopped. And I thought he was kidding, but for some reason I got really nervous. Mm-hmm. And a few minutes passed. We were in front of his desk. I was getting all the letters together that were going to go out. And he asked me when he could attack me, and I said never.
He used those words? He
said, I guess, when can I attack you? He said it laughing. He was laughing, though, so I thought he was kidding around. I mean, a lot of people kid around like that, and you never think anything of it. And I said never. I was laughing, too. And he goes, well, give me one good reason why not. First thing that just popped into my head was just like, I said, I never fool around with my employers, I mean. And he said, that's not good enough. And he literally just grabbed me. And I couldn't get away from it. He goes, I just want to kiss you. I'm not going to hurt you. Don't worry. I just want to give you a kiss. And I was screaming. I just said, please leave me alone. Please. I started crying. And he pinned me down in this chair. And he was like standing over me. He had both hands on the armrests, and he just kept trying. He was holding on to me, and he kept going, I just want to kiss you. And I said, please. I just kept moving my head. And I was trying to get out of the chair and away from him, and there was no way. He's a lot stronger than I am. Mm. And I was wearing jeans with suspenders on, and he started to undo the suspenders and kind of unbutton my blouse. And then he started getting undressed himself. And but he kept holding on to me. I couldn't get away. Mm-hmm. And I realized at that point that no matter how loud I screamed, there wasn't anyone there that was going to come and do anything. So I just stopped, and I was hysterical crying, and I was just shaking. And he started to undress me. And he was still trying to kiss me and fondle me. And then I just stopped. I stopped saying anything. There was no sense in fighting him. I mean, there was, but I knew I couldn't do anything. And he just stopped all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And he goes, he started like stroking my arms. And he said, "You're upset, calm down." And I was like, "I'm upset." "No, yeah, no, yeah. No, I'm not upset." And he goes, you're shaking. You know, calm down. And I said, I'm okay, I'm okay. And he goes, "Well, you can go home now. Please be in early tomorrow morning." And I got up and I fixed myself and I just ran out and I went home. Well, he had told me before I left that I shouldn't bother doing anything because I couldn't prove it.
You shouldn't bother doing anything about
in terms of going to the police or anything, because mm-hmm. I couldn't prove it. And I was too upset to do anything, so I went home. And I had spoken to a friend of mine that lives out on the coast, and he told me, "Don't even bother going back. Just call up and say you want your severance pay, and that's it." Mm-hmm. And I decided to go back a couple of days later anyway, because he doesn't have to take my calls. I mean, you know, he knew it was me. He could hang up on me. I wanted a face-to-face confrontation. I walked in there. I was like shaking, going back up into the elevator. And
did you call them and ask for your severance pay?
No, he's a private attorney. Oh. I couldn't call anyone,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell anyone that could do anything
yeah.
about it. So I went up and I saw him, and he goes, where have you been for the past couple of days? Why didn't you call up? I just said, "Well, I've been quite upset." And I said, "I'm leaving." And I went 2 weeks severance pay. He laughed and he said, "Forget about it." I said, "You know, this is between me and you right now. And I don't think you want to know what's going on." And he goes, "Are you trying to blackmail me?" He goes, "Don't even bother trying." And he just said, like, "Come on, honey, it's your word against mine. Who's going to believe you? I'm a big attorney and you're nothing." And I said, "Well, all I want is 2 weeks severance pay." And he goes, "Forget it." You know, and he goes, "Come on, you're making a whole big thing out of it. I don't even see why you were upset at all." He goes, "I didn't do anything to you."
How old was he?
He was in his 40s.
Married?
Yeah.
It was a one-man office?
Yeah.
There was just him and whoever he had in to help him?
Well, there were other people on the floor, but everyone had gone by that time.
Yeah.
You know, it was late. But he was his own attorney. He wasn't working for a company or anything,
yeah.
or another law firm.
Yeah.
And I walked out. I was just so furious. I wasn't even upset anymore or afraid of him. I was just so mad that he was just sitting there with this smug expression on his face, like, "Hey, you can't do anything about it." So I walked out and I saw a friend of mine in the hall. I was talking to him. And he came out of his office and he said, he tried to accuse me of stealing his dictaphone.
God.
So I just walked in the office and I was right on the desk. I just handed it to him and just walked out. And I said, "You know, you won't be here. You haven't heard the last of me." Because I just, you know, I mean, he had told me his last secretary left because she was unreliable. And then he turns around to me and said, "I was unreliable." And
yeah.
I'm just beginning to wonder why she left,
yeah.
too. I saw my therapist that night. Mm-hmm. She had told me I was a wreck. I just seeing him again, you know. And he didn't even try to apologize to me. I mean, even if he would have tried something at the beginning and I would have just said no and he would have apologized, I wouldn't even have been upset or done anything, because a lot people try. If you say no, they apologize. It's not, you know, you can understand it. But he didn't even apologize. It was just like, I was nothing. I mean, I was a piece of nothing to be used. So my therapist had suggested that I contact Now, and I contacted them, and they gave me a few people to contact, you know, Women Against Rape and the district attorney's office. And everywhere that I called, I was just told that I had no proof. He could tear me apart in a court. He's an attorney. I'm sure he has friends. He would be able to really rip me apart in a court of law. I would never even get to the courts. Nothing would happen. So I really haven't done anything about it. I wish I could. I mean, it really upsets me, the fact that people could go around doing things like this. I mean, he didn't actually rape me.
But he could have.
The effect was just the same. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, he should have. Like, at least then I would have had proof.
Yeah.
I could have done something about it. But he's off scot-free. And there's not anything I could do. I thought of telling his, my, you know, someone had suggested I write a letter to his wife. But I was told by another attorney that he could turn around and sue me for slander and libel. And I don't need a big court case coming up. I mean,
no. No. It's just, Working Women United is working on a piece of legislation which will provide for unemployment compensation for women who have left their jobs.
Well, I was told that I could. I contacted them. They told me I could, but I got a job as a waitress right after that. So I didn't bother. I mean, if I couldn't get a job, I would have.
Yeah.
But I did get a job about a couple of weeks later.
Are you making at least a comparable salary?
I'm making more, actually. I was only working part-time for him. He wasn't paying me enough anyway, but the hours were all right, and I was able to take off days when tests were coming up, and, and he didn't bother me too much about things like that. So I couldn't really complain.
What do you think should be done? Because cases like this, I mean, you're not alone. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of women who are harassed every day on their jobs, and there doesn't seem to be any specific organization or any group that is dealing with that. As you said, oftentimes it's sort of a muddy situation. If there isn't actual intercourse, if there isn't penetration, then it's not rape. Even if it were rape, it's still very hard to prove. And it always comes down to your word against his. Have you had any thoughts as to what?
I think they should really try and change the rape laws. Or, I mean, just because penetration isn't made, it doesn't mean that you aren't raped or assault. You know, that's one small thing. When you come down to that, does it mean that much? It's just being forced to do one more thing. I mean, I think that the rape laws really should be changed in this country. In this country, I think it's horrendous. They put the girl through so much. Even if a rape case does get to court and does get on trial, they delve into her past. If she happened to have gone to bed with a few guys, you know, years ago or recently, they'd bring that up. Well, maybe she was promiscuous. Maybe she brought on the attack. I don't think anyone brings on a rape attack. I mean, I certainly didn't try to entice him in any way. I think the law should be a lot stricter. I think you don't have to actually have actual rape to be able to put up a rape case. I don't know how it could be done. I mean,
it would be nice too if there were groups organized specifically to prevent sexual harassment at work. What just came to mind was the thought that it would make a lot of difference in a court case if sitting in the audience were 50 court watchers women from various anti-harassment groups who would just go to court and be there and sit there and listen to the testimony and just sort of take note what was happening and sort of keep an eye on the jury and the judge and the attorneys, you know, and make sure that at least your testimony was given equal weight. I think that would probably be a real big help in terms of winning cases.
I just think that they, men don't realize what a defense attorney would wind up getting a lot of males on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And males, I don't care how sensitive they are, and they don't realize to them. I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys since this happened to me, good friends. They say, well, you should just lie back and enjoy it. I mean, you're not going to be able to do anything. Big deal. You know, if I was a girl, I wouldn't mind getting raped. I don't think they realize it. It's a personal affront to you. I mean, it's to have someone just take my body so carelessly, like it's nothing, like it's a piece of meat that they could just throw away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in rape cases they should be able to get less, you know, more women on the jury, have a women judge. I don't think it's possible, but I think it would be a lot better in terms of our defense.
Sure, sure. And it's interesting that the male comment is, if I was a girl, I wouldn't mind. The point is not if they were anything. The point is how would they feel if they were attacked? The message to me is very clear that any man who finds himself sexually attacked is going to probably feel a lot of the same feelings that you felt. And why should it be any different from you? Why should it be any different for you? So you've not been able. Have you just dropped it completely?
I've spoken to a few people. A friend of mine is in the DA, and he told me he'd try and get me a few names. But I know there's really not much I could do. I don't have a case. There were no witnesses. I probably should have gone right to the police department after it happened, but he had told me I didn't have a case. I was under the assumption then that unless there was actual penetration, you didn't have a case at all.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't rip any of my clothing. I mean, I could have walked in there. I was crying. I was upset. But I could have made that up. I mean,
yeah.
I could have had a fight with my boyfriend and come in and said, oh, someone tried to rape me. I had no proof, and I knew I had no proof.
Yeah.
So I was up against a dead end. And I was told that, you know, I could be sued for slander if I tried to, you know, tell anyone what happened or mm-hmm. write to the Bar Association. Unless I knew damn well that I had a good story behind me, that I better not do it because I would get sued. I just don't think women should be afraid to, you know, like I never thought anything of staying late at work before. I've worked for terrific men. I mean, my old boss, when I was, you know, working full-time, I probably could have been locked up with him for 2 days and nothing would have happened because he respected me as a person,
mm-hmm.
as a co-worker. I mean, I've worked late with him before till 11, 12 at night, and we've worked on what we had to do. I've never been afraid to stay with someone, you know, alone in an office before. And now I don't think I would do it again.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the feeling of having, that I have to be afraid on the job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That was the personal testimony of two women who have been harassed sexually at their place of work. Our on-the-air phone number is 371-5206. That's 371-5206. And for the next half an hour or so, we will be taking some phone calls regarding the subject of sexual harassment. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just listening to this last caller, and I was thinking it was a rather hideous story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously this man was rather ill. I've lived through experiences like this with, you know, girlfriends of mine and ladies that I've lived with who've had similar situations. And I really don't think that there's anything you can do about it. A man takes a different view of those kind of things than a woman would, as apparent from the comments that she got from persons that she solicited advice from and comments.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd just like to say that I think that your program would probably go as far as anything in educating people and alleviating those kind of situations.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. This is WBAI. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I just was listening, and I really couldn't believe that I heard what I think I heard you say, that maybe we ought to be able to prosecute people even before the crime takes place.
Before the crime takes place?
Like if there's not penetration, we should be able to prosecute for rape anyway.
It's you don't understand. Harassment.
No.
Harassment in and of itself is
rape involves penetration. There are crimes of sexual abuse which can be prosecuted for.
Are you an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. You are speaking. You are arguing me on semantics, and I will, rather than continue to discuss the semantics of the issue, I will concede your point. You're right.
Can I bring up one other thing?
Very briefly. We have a lot of calls.
You talk about the terrible statistics on rape.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really not too good.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you compare the statistics on rape compared to other felonies, they're roughly the same. The chance of going to jail if you commit a rape or a murder or an armed robbery is roughly 1%.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not evidence that rape is treated any worse. It's just an unfortunate fact that our criminal justice system doesn't work in virtually any case.
Okay.
And you might consider attacking that problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Good night. This is WBAI. We are taking calls on the air regarding to the subject of the sexual harassment of women on the job, and the number on the air is 371-5206. I would, by the way, really appreciate it if men would refrain from calling. I am not going to not take calls from men, but I would really like to hear from the women in our audience. This is WBAI. You are on the air.
I'm sorry. I'm a man.
Well,
I've got a lovely wife and 7 great daughters, and Rachel should use the exact same treatment that her boss used on her. One of her chicken friends who immediately backed down and said to lay back and enjoy it, that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
She should have 2 of her friends go in and let him lay back and enjoy it. Punch him out.
Well,
it's ridiculous, this business of women taking it the way they have to take it. I listen to your program all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a shaft and you're looking for, play the same game you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to strike back more than this business of going looking for advice from a bunch of dummies who tell you that, you know, they play you off as a fool. It's the only way for women to get ahead.
Well, I think there are a lot of women who would agree with you.
Well, she was willing to put up with him for the 10 minutes or so that he was willing to play his game. He should be willing to put up with some business from somebody on her side.
He should be, but he probably wouldn't be. Thanks for calling.
Okay, good luck.
Bye-bye. My word. This is WBAI. You are on the air.
On the air now?
You are on the air now.
Okay, I just wanted to...
Turn down your radio because you're hearing yourself on 4-second delay.
Okay. I'm terribly sorry.
It's okay.
I just wanted to say that in the case of attempted rape, it's more like a case of miscarried justice. And, it's crazy. It's more like assault.
Yeah.
And it should be treated as such in the courts.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
And back to the first woman who's a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as a trade, but I do quite a bit of auto mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment I've gotten at machine shops and stuff has been, initially anyway, outrageous.
Yeah.
A lot of the questions like, do you really know what you're talking about? After all, you're only a little girl.
Right, right. You don't really want that part, honey. You want this part, because...
this kind of thing. Oh, honey, you want the more expensive spark plugs. But the expensive spark plugs don't fit my car.
Yeah, yeah.
To buy an axle to say, what do you know the difference between kingpins and ball joints?
Yeah.
And this kind of treatment, I don't know, men just have to learn that women can learn just as well as they can.
Yeah.
And in the case of your the woman carpenter, I guess they had to learn the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. She also talked to Judy Pasternak did that interview for me, and Mary also talked to Judy about her job, which is going to be broadcast later, and I forget exactly when. But the work she does as a carpenter involves getting up on the steel of the building, as you know, the girders go up and they stretch 40 and 50 stories. She walks that steel and takes measurements for laying the wooden boxes that hold the cement. So she's up there on that steel before there are any floors or anything, and she's 30 stories above the ground, just sort of walking around taking these measurements. It sounds like a...
There's no time for that kind of sexual play.
Anti-sexual
play, whatever you would call it.
Not when you're 300 feet in the air.
And if you want to call it rape, you could call it rape when it's done that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But, keep up the good programming.
Thank you.
And I don't know if I'm boasting out, but I was one of the two $10 callers who... brought it to $2,300.
I am real grateful.
Piper.
I am real grateful to you. Thanks an awful lot.
Thank you for doing the programming.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is WBAI. You are on the air.
Yes, I think the woman on the two head on, I don't know how much she weighed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had two experiences with bosses
who
have tried to get fresh with me. Once was a private detective, and the other one was a cab company owner, and this was in Toledo, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm no featherweight, but they told me the same thing, that I might as well lay back and enjoy it because I wouldn't have any proof. I clobbered them. I mean, with the detective, it was real easy. I just picked up a glass and smashed it up alongside of his head. And with the cab company, he didn't appreciate having a drawer slammed on his hand.
Oh, goodness. Goodness.
There's several little tricks that you can do. When they say that you can't prove it, well, then my theory is let them try to explain to a judge how a little woman could beat up on them.
Yeah, and why.
Right.
Why this little woman would go around beating up on big strong men? That's not usually the case, and a judge might be inclined to think twice about his story.
Yeah, I really think it's a shame that women have to put up with stuff like that. It's their body.
Yeah.
It's a violation. Even if a man puts a hand on you, you don't want
him
to.
Mm-hmm.
And of course. I imagine I was raised a little bit rougher than what most women were.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure if a man puts a hand on me and I don't want him to, he gets told once. The second time, he gets clobbered.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air.
Pussy.
Goodness. Another weirdo. Whoops, busy signal. Go back to the beginning. The number, by the way, for on-the-air phone calls is 371-5206. This is WBAI. You're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to talk some more about that girl. It's similar to what that other lady said.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, any bruises, any fight constitutes a simple assault.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do is to get in a fight with him. Break up good, expensive equipment. Get a few bruises, give a few, and then you have a chance to explain in court who assaulted who and why. You may go to jail, but you'll feel a whole lot better. I mean, hey, they have no business. No one has any business touching anyone
if they
don't want them to be touched.
That's right.
And the best thing to do is resist physically, actively. You do not have to be big and strong because dictaphones, telephones, desk equipment is very expensive. Breaking up office window glass and stuff, very effective. Believe me, they don't like it. They get very upset about it.
Have you been sexually assaulted?
I went to jail for a rapist that I beat up. I did 6 months in the pen, but that's another story.
Mm.
But I'm still happy that I won the fight.
Yeah.
And I've been very well put down for, you know, winning other fights
mm-hmm.
of that type.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to fight back. The man was right. You can't just take shit.
Yeah.
It's very unhealthy.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Me too. Bye-bye. Callers should be forewarned to watch their language. The FCC has rules about four-letter words. This is WBAI. You are on the air.
Hi. Of course, hindsight is always better than foresight, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure it would be legal, admissible evidence in court.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel if a situation as happened to this young woman who was talking occurred to me, I would have gone back the way she did the next day with a small tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And just carried on the conversation, as she said, wherein he admitted his guilt.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your program.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a suggestion for Rachel.
Okay.
And she was wondering why the former secretary had also been let go. I think she should try to find out who that secretary is.
Yeah.
Because if a similar thing had happened to that other woman, then it would not be one person's word against another. It would be two people's word who had had similar experiences. And a case might be able to be built around that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was...
That has been done in some other cases of harassment.
That was my thought as well. And as a matter of fact, the first program we did on sexual harassment on the job, the woman who was being harassed was able to come forward and bring her boss's advances to her to the attention of higher ups in the company, only because she found out by accident that another woman in the company had also been harassed by this boss. The problem is, of course, that it happens in offices, especially because the boss has such an incredible hold over you. You've got that job. You need that job. You need the money, and you don't want to offend your boss by being sterner towards small advances than you have to. And then the next thing you know, one thing leads to another, and you find yourself in a real untenable position.
Yeah.
You know, and they will just take advantage of you, and advantage of your fear of losing your job. It's unconscionable.
Definitely.
Thanks for calling. This is WBAI. You're on the air.
I want to say I appreciate the comments of the women who've called in and talked about... Hello?
Hello. You're on the air. If your radio is on, you should turn it down because we're on a 4.5-second delay.
Okay. I appreciate the comments about carrying on the battle at an individual level,
mm-hmm.
but I think it should also be pointed out, maybe it already has been, that a lot of this harassment is really built into the coercive nature of the type of employment that most women get.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Wall Street any time at noon and you see... You know, that this city is run by really minions of slave wage laborers,
mm-hmm.
All dressed to kill, because
mm-hmm.
that's part of the image you have to purvey
mm-hmm.
on the job. I think, you know, I don't know whether the legal profession is worse than most, but it's got to be up there. I worked once as a receptionist for a firm, and there's a very, very thin line between being encouraged, say, to have a really cheesecake image up front there at the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, being treated as a human being, as
mm-hmm.
something other than a good-looking sexual object.
Mm-hmm.
So until something can get turned around about, you know, whose backs this system is really run on, you know, talking about the clerical workers of the city,
mm-hmm.
then that sort of coercive employment really makes women a sexual slave as well as an economic slave.
Right. And it's just one step from that to actual advances and harassment.
Yeah, really, and I think the insult or the outrage is as strong just knowing that that's what's involved in the job,
mm-hmm.
even if it never actually comes to pass.
Yeah.
Thank you for your program.
Thank you for calling. This is WBAI. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm a rape crisis counselor with New York Women Against Rape. And I think there was a man who called up before and said that it doesn't happen that often or something like that.
Yeah, right. Or the conviction rate is no lower than it is for any other crime.
It's no lower?
Yeah, that's what he said. It was only about 1%, and the conviction rate for other crimes wasn't much better, so we didn't have too much to complain about.
That's interesting, because the thing is that most women just don't consider a lot of the things that are done against them to be even rape.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's very interesting that this guy is talking about convictions, because that doesn't even enter into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they say that, I've heard some statistics saying that one every 3 minutes, that's for rape.
Yeah.
And there's no true statistic on rape at all, because no one reports it. There are a lot of wives who don't know that their husbands have raped them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And boyfriends on girlfriends.
Sure.
You know, if you ask, if you talk to the average woman on the street, she'll say, I've never been raped. And then you ask her, has she ever had violent sex with a lover of any sort? And then she starts to think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting that this guy brought that topic up about the conviction rate.
Yeah.
Because there should be more convictions for rape.
For sure. For sure. I think the most frustrating thing about sexual harassment at work is that it's not just a question of you're afraid to prosecute your boss because you'll lose your job almost immediately, but also because if he stops short of actual penetration, as happened with Rachel, the second woman,
right,
who was interviewed, then you have little or no evidence, and it is just your word against his, and it's awful hard to prove it in court.
It's also very difficult because they have the laws written that rape is penetration, whereas it can be oral sex, it can be anal sex,
right,
it can be just humiliation of any sort.
Right.
And it's not even written in the law.
Right.
Because it has nothing to do with a penis entering a vagina.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I guess that's about the only points I have to make tonight.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. This is WBAI. You are on the air.
Let me turn on my radio.
Okay.
Now, why can't they prove it?
Well, what...
With a woman go around telling people that they done been raped.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right, of course. But...